You're listening to episode 32 of IDRA Class Notes.
And it's interesting because I do this activity with the teachers and with the children. Draw a picture of something you remember about the story. And then they draw several pictures of what they remember. And then I have a map, and the children go and tape their picture where this happened. And it's very interesting that a lot of children remember more things about the end than they do the beginning.
Welcome to the Class Notes podcast by the Intercultural Development Research Association, IDRA. I'm Aurelio Montemayor. Thanks for listening. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. We would love to hear your thoughts, questions, and suggestions. There will be details at the end of this podcast on how to contact us. We've set up an email alert to let you know when a new episode of Class Notes is available. If you're not subscribing to this podcast, our email alerts can help you stay up to date. Just go to our website to sign up. www.idra.org. I also want to let you know about a monthly electronic newsletter that we have called Graduation for All. Get informed, get connected, get results. It's free and shares news and resources focusing on graduating all students across the country. Just go to our website to sign up. Today's topic is Teaching Early Literacy with Jose Rodriguez. In Jose's 20 years of experience in education, he has, first of all, in terms of academic achievement, a Bachelor's of Science degree in Spanish and Drama, a Master's in Bilingual Bicultural Studies. He's currently a doctoral student. And at IDRA, among the things he's done, he's directed IDRA's Reading Early for Academic Development project, Project READ, funded by the U.S. Department of Education. That particular project transformed Head Start classrooms into classrooms of excellence that ensure reading, cognitive, and emotional success for all preschool children. He is also the lead creator of IDRA's Semillitas de Aprendizaje, a bilingual early childhood curriculum that is currently under development. So to get to our topic, Jose, what are the five areas of literacy development?
In 2000, the National Reading Panel identified the five areas of early literacy that were essential to teach. And those five areas are phonological awareness, phonics, vocabulary, fluency, and comprehension.
And first of all, do these work in isolation? Do you focus in a sequence? You do one thing first? How do you see them interrelating?
When we first started using these five components, it was when the Texas Primary Reading Inventory started. I was teaching first grade at the time, and it was difficult because that same question came up. We didn't know, well, do I teach phonological awareness for 5-10 minutes? Do I teach vocabulary for another 5 minutes? Or what is it that we do? But when you have a balance, you teach all these together. One of the things that I've noticed that is missing in the phonemic awareness is the understanding that speech is composed of sounds, and we're looking at the different phonemes. But one of the things that is lacking that is so essential is the listening part. I was very surprised at how many children that we were working with through Project READ who are in Head Start who are receiving some kind of speech therapy. And so one of my recommendations to the teachers was to slow down their speech, because sometimes we tend to talk very fast. And children, whether they're English language learners or monolingual children, are just learning to speak. So I told the teachers to enunciate, to slow down, because the children are starting to imitate the sounds that we make. And by slowing down, that helped them. Also by playing games. So that was one of the pieces that was that is so essential, and we tend to forget about phonemic awareness, is that listening component, listening for the foreground sounds against all the background noise in the classroom.
I'm curious because, for example, you mentioned fluency and comprehension. Could you have phonemic awareness without having comprehension?
Well, phonemic awareness, they're playing with words, they're acquiring the language.
So hearing them and forming the sounds.
And forming the sounds and to get the words going. Because kids at this time are just starting to develop the words. So that when you start fluency, that's when they start reading, you know, the
right.
emergent stage of reading.
But if children can call out the words, does that show that they understand what the words mean?
No, because that happened to me growing up. I could read perfectly. But don't ask me what I read.
Okay.
Because I could not comprehend, because I did not have the vocabulary necessary.
And so that's why you said they work together.
One, right.
You know, you
They're
can't just spend a year on phonics and the next year we'll do comprehension
right.
or
no.
something like that.
You have to have find a good balance in okay. with these five areas. But these are the five areas of literacy that are essential.
In your work with children, you said something about the speed the teacher was speaking, using in the classroom to be conscious of that. What are the things, as you were focusing on these early childhood teachers, were you having them to really reflect about, besides the speed of their language? What are some other key things that you were helping them with?
Modeling reading. Reading every day to the children.
What do you mean when you say modeling reading? What does that mean?
The children are acquiring language. They're learning new vocabulary. And the more I read to them, the more I introduce them to vocabulary words that they're not familiar with. So by modeling reading is
okay.
I am reading a story every day in the morning. I may read a book during nap time. So the more I read to the children, the more they yeah. will acquire.
So they're hearing the sounds, but they're also getting vocabulary as
right.
you read to them. They're hearing you use it fluently as you read, so they're modeling the fluency.
Exactly.
How do you then check for understanding with very young children when you're reading the stories? What do you teach the teachers to do with the children?
Asking open-ended questions, asking about their favorite part of the book, what did you like? And it's interesting because I do this activity with the teachers and with the children. Draw a picture of something you remember about the story.
The story, yeah.
And then they draw several pictures of what they remember. And then I have a map that has beginning, middle, and end. And the children go and tape their picture where this happened. And it's very interesting that a lot of children remember more things about the end than they do the beginning.
So, Jose, it seems that these five areas of literacy development apply universally. Whether I speak Swahili at home, Spanish, English, whether I'm in any part of the world, children learn to read through these components. So these are the things that you as a teacher have to be aware of. Phonological awareness, vocabulary, fluency, comprehension, all these areas. Now, you have done a lot of work with children whose first language is Spanish, whose parents speak Spanish at home. And these 4 or 5-year-olds that you were working very directly with, in fact, you were training the teachers to be better teachers of those children. What were some implications for those children of what you understand about how a child learns to read?
The children that I was working with in the Head Start program were recent immigrants. Some were native born here in San Antonio, and they came with different levels of language development. So some had some knowledge, so we started clapping the number of phonemes in their name. So it was trying to distinguish between phoneme and a syllable, because Spanish is syllabic. So if I speak, if I'm trying to teach phonemes, I can say st-op. St-op has 4 phonemes, where if I say shop, that has 3 phonemes. So then the children who have Spanish names, like Jose, it's syllables. It's Jose. It's not Jose.
Yeah.
So that was difficult, and helping the teachers hear that.
Now, one of the things, I speak English at a certain pace. That's my stronger language. When I hear somebody speaking German or French, and I don't know those languages, to me it seems that they are on roller skates. They speak it so quickly. Were these children that didn't know English hearing it? I mean, what were the implications for the teacher of that, the teacher who was English dominant?
The English, I had to tell the teachers to slow down their you know, their speaking, because it's like, hurry up, we gotta move to the next center, we gotta go there. And so the children start picking up that language. It's like me when, you know, I need to go to a restroom. So we speak it very fast because that's what I'm hearing, and that's what the children were hearing. So it's getting them to slow down, because at the same time that they're learning a language, they also are acquiring a foreign language.
Now, let's say if I'm a child who am fluent in Spanish, that's what I hear at home and that's what I speak, and you were to teach me Little Red Riding Hood, Caperucita Roja, in Spanish, what's the transfer to English of that?
Well, you would do the storyline, the story base. Mm-hmm. Who are the characters? Mm-hmm. So in the Spanish, you have Red Riding Hood and Caperucita Roja. ¿Qué es Caperucita Roja? So then you have the sequence of the story is the same in English and in Spanish. El lobo, the wolf, you know. So the sequence of the story stays the same.
The ideas, the story itself, in other words, in any language.
There may be some words there I'm not familiar with. Well, I know the story, I just don't have it. But there may be some words in the story that are cognates, that the students can say, oh, well, I know a Spanish word that sounds just like that. Mm-hmm.
So that's what a cognate is.
Right.
You know, a word that in both languages is very similar.
Right.
And like has the same meaning.
Chocolate, chocolate.
Yeah. Chocolate, yeah. What were some of the things that you needed to help teachers with the most as you were helping them learn how to teach these children to, with their pre-reading skills or learning how to read?
Making time to read. Because the teacher said they read to the children a lot. They said, I read every day. Mm-hmm. But when I would go and observe them, I would never see them reading.
Ah.
So it was, I would go and visit, and I'd spend the whole day trying to see when it was that they would read to the children. And a lot of the reading was happening in the afternoon, because their schedule was so rigid that it didn't allow for time to sit down and read. So I introduced a shared reading, guided reading with the children, where they would use big books. But it was getting them used to reading every day.
That's interesting, because as teachers, I've never been an early childhood teacher, but I've taught at different grade levels. You get in your head in terms of what the teaching is about and what you're supposed to do the most. And if somebody comes and tells me, oh, you know, but you're not doing this and this is important, I'll say, okay, I'll add it on later. But for example, modeling of reading is critical for children to learn how to read. And they need to see the teacher read, understand the reading, do it themselves, stuff like that. So you had to have the teacher saying, you know, this is important and you should do it when the child is most attentive and when they have a lot of energy and stuff like that.
Right. I'm working with a group of high school students with this math mm-hmm. SMART program that we have. And it was interesting because I did a presentation for them. They were talking about proportion and ratio. But the students were not getting the concept. And I told the teacher, I said, well, let's teach them the vocabulary. What is proportion? So then they read the definition of proportion, and somewhere in the definition is the word ratio. Well, what is ratio? So then they read the definition for ratio, and then there's another word, quotient. What is quotient? And I told the teacher, and I was telling the students, I said, this is the vocabulary you should have been learning, or you should have known this when you were in third or fourth grade when they teach you division. So again, you know, a lot of high school students, this not only applies to early childhood education, but high school students, the vocabulary is so important for them in order to make the learning comprehensive.
You know, that goes back to when we were saying, when you were looking at the areas of literacy development. Fluency and comprehension, for example. I might read something and sound like an English speaker. You know, I have my notes here. Welcome to the Class Note podcast. But I could say that and have no idea. I could have thought I was saying these are rotten tomatoes. In other words, what I think something means. And when you were talking, the example you just gave of a definition where the child, in this case a middle school or high school student, can read the definition and probably read it fluently and has no notion what these words mean. And to get meaning means that you might have to use pictures, pantomime, related concepts, figure out what in somebody's head. And I think that is something the math teachers in high school need to know that, but certainly with the little ones. How you help little ones make meaning out of these words.
Right.
Yeah.
Using word walls is so important also, having the word walls along with the picture.
What is a word wall?
It's an area in your classroom where you have the words that you're teaching. You build this word wall as you go along. The teachers that I was working with in the Head Start Center, their word wall consisted just of names, the students' names. They had Jose, they had Aurelio, they had Maria, they had Kathy, they had Cassandra's names up there. But they were teaching about seeds and plants, but I never saw the word plant, seeds, stem, leaf.
Right.
So I never saw those words up in the word wall. So the teacher is using those words all the time with the assumption that the child knows what a stem is, what a leaf is, what a seed is.
Yeah. You know, many years ago, one of my inspirations preparing to be a teacher was a book by a woman named Sylvia Ashton Warner. She was teaching Maori children in New Zealand. And they had something called an organic vocabulary, and each child had a folder where had the words, and they would read them and tell the teacher, oh, this is the word. When the child no longer could say what that word was, she would throw it out of their pack. She said, this is not part of your vocabulary, and it can only stay here if you know what it means and can read the word. Are there readings, are there articles that you recommend?
There is an article that I recommend, and it is from the Bilingual Office, and it is in their Directives magazine.
The Office of English Language.
Right. Office of English Language Acquisition in their Directions in Language and Education. In the spring edition, there is a very good article entitled Implementing Reading First with English Language Learners.
And the author is?
Antunes.
We will have this. If you visit our website, this article, we'll have a reference to it so you can get it. It's available online. People could download it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I use this in a workshop.
Why was this article specifically useful to you in your work? Why did you find it useful?
Because it focuses on the five components of literacy that we're talking about: phonemic awareness, phonics, vocabulary, comprehension, and fluency. But it also looks at the implications for English language learners.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jose. It's been an enlightening and a wonderful little conversation. Please visit our website, get on our emailing list, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org. Or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.